What a powerful, powerful song. Thank you, David. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Father's Day once again to all fathers. And welcome to all of our guests who are with us today, especially if you're with us for the first time today. We're grateful that you've chosen to come and to be with us. Your being with us is far, far more of a blessing than you could ever realize or understand. Thank you so much for being with us. We have a lot of folks traveling today at this moment. Jeremy and our youth group and some of the adult chaperones, they left just a little over an hour ago from our parking lot here, headed to Ohio Valley University for a week of summer camp at OVU. It's a service camp. They'll be doing projects in the area. So let's be praying for them. That's, I think, maybe about 35 kids are with Jeremy today. And we'll be this week, so let's pray for them as they travel. And now this whole section over here is looking a little light because this is usually where our young people sit. And poor Jesse over here, you know, all the young adults have just abandoned him for no good reason. Well, actually, it is a good reason. I don't know if you're aware, but two of our young adults, Jonah Temple and Aaron Mayo, got married yesterday in Elkin, North Carolina. Just up the road from my old stomping grounds. And so most of our young adult group is up there supporting Jonah and Aaron this weekend. So a lot of folks traveling, let's please be praying for them as they travel. And also this summer, Michelle Levesque wanted me to share with you that this summer we're going to be doing something a little bit differently with our children. They're going to be sitting with our parents in big church. Big church this summer as an opportunity to disciple our children and worship. With that in mind, discipling in mind, I want to share with you a new sermon series that will start 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today. The series is called Inspire, Stories of Lived Discipleship. It's a four-week sermon series beginning on June the 30th, in which I'll be interviewing different folks each week that relate to a specific aspect of what it means to following Jesus. And so I would really encourage you to invite some of your friends, some of your neighbors, and the folks that you know, folks that you would like to introduce to Jesus and to the way of Jesus, to come and to sit in on that series, Inspire. Stories of Lived Discipleship, starting on June the 30th. Would you pray with me? Our Father, Almighty God, we are humbled to be in your presence today. Father, we do not invite you into our presence, because that would be presumptuous. But rather, we understand that in worship, in this assembly, you have invited us by your grace and by your love into your presence. And as we worship, our prayer, Father, is that you will be truly lifted up in our hearts, that you will be lifted up in our lives today. For to you belongs all the honor and the power and the glory this day and every day. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 49 or your phone apps, Isaiah 49. I'm going to be reading from verses 13 through 16. Isaiah 49, 13 through 16. Shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though, though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Shout for joy, O heavens, rejoice, O earth, burst into song, O mountains. The text begins beautifully, inspiringly, with a call to celebratory and joyful praise, but it isn't spoken to a group of people gathered together for a good dose of uplifting worship to get them ready for the week to come. Quite the contrary. The call is issued to a group of God's people who find themselves in anything but joyful circumstances. They find themselves, in fact, in the most dire of circumstances. They have been swept away into exile by the dominant world power of their day, Babylon. These people are depressed. They're homesick. They are alienated, and they are broken. Jerusalem, or Zion, the center of their faith and identity, lies in ruins. And for a long, long time, the people had not heeded the calls of God to repent of their idolatries, to repent of their worldliness. And so as a last resort, God had used the Babylonians as the instruments of his justice and discipline. But it wasn't merely the rebellious who had been carried off into exile. There were also many good, faithful believers who had been caught up. Now, I'm sure that even the guilty didn't feel like they deserved to be in Babylon, but faithful worshipers like Daniel and others certainly did not deserve to be there. Yet, be that as it may, here they were, faithful and unfaithful alike, living as exiles. So from their perspective, there was nothing at all about their circumstances that made them just feel like busting out in joyful, jubilant song. Anything but lament would have been more to their liking. Rather than expressing to God their jubilant worship, in reality, they felt like God had abandoned them. They felt like God had forgotten them. They felt like God no longer remembered them. And what a terrible place in life to be. It's kind of like going through one of the worst periods in your life and then coming to worship on Sunday and being expected to put on a happy face when you're feeling like anything but that. There's perhaps nothing more painful and more taxing on our faith than the feeling of exile. And that feeling can take many forms for the child of God and the people of God today. Now, we find ourselves in life situations that may or may not have been due to our own life choices. A broken relationship. The devastating loss of a loved one. A sudden and significant economic reversal with all of its resulting insecurity. A debilitating illness. And what we feel like are attacks on us as the people of God by the prevailing culture. And even those times when we have been rebellious and the Father is trying to get our attention, all of these life situations may leave us reeling and floundering through life for a period of time, feeling abandoned, feeling disconnected, feeling numb to any profession of God's love or presence. It may feel like in those times of exile that God has indeed forgotten about us. But Whatever the reason for those times when we feel disconnected and forgotten, through the prophet Isaiah, God's initial response to his people's cry is a word of comfort and hope through the old prophet Isaiah. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But even as the Lord spoke those words, the people in exile in Babylon had a hard time hearing them. They didn't feel comforted. But the truth is, God is relentless. He is relentless in his love. And he responds to their complaint with two powerful images of his love and compassion. Images that instill hope, even to people in exile. The first is the image of a nursing mother. In verse 15, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Do we dare imagine such a thing? And God is saying, I am like that mother. Indeed, he had given birth to the children of Israel. He had cared for and fed them and walked them hand in hand through the way of life. He had taken them and led them through one hardship and crisis after another. He had disciplined them, and when they needed it, and had held them close when they needed it. And no matter what they did, he would always love them. Why? Because he had birthed them. And even if it were possible, for a mother to forget her child, the Lord says to his children in exile, even if it's unimaginable, but even if it were possible for a mother to forget her child, I will never forget you. That's God's response to their complaint. You're not forgotten. It's not possible for me to forget you. And even if his children forget him, God will not forget them. You see, the children of God are inseparably connected to the heart of God. And then in the second assurance, he says, I will not forget because I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Forgetfulness is simply not possible when one's hands are covered with reminders. Now, we're not talking about the practice that we have sometimes of, we don't have a piece of paper. I want to remember somebody's phone number. I need their email address. You know, guys, you need to get that girl's number, and you just take a pen and you write it down on the palm of your hand. You know. And then you go about your business and you go to the bathroom and you wash your hands. Oh, no. That vital information is gone. No. God doesn't write the names of his people on his palm with something that can be easily lost. More, the thought of the text is God has the names of his people tattooed on the palm of his hands. Amen. Your name's not going anywhere. My name isn't going anywhere. It is tattooed in the palm of God's hand. So this second image conveys two powerful realities that sustain hope in times of exile. The first reality is permanence. Again, in our culture, the closest thing that we can relate to this text is that our names are tattooed in the palm of God's hand. It's the idea of permanence. And that's what God is trying to say to his exiled children. My love for you is permanent. I'm reminded of what Paul had written in Romans, the 8th chapter, that there is nothing, height nor depth, life nor death. No, there is nothing in all of creation. No principalities or powers. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. Paul doesn't say there are a lot of things that cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. There is nothing. His love for us is permanent. As permanent as our names tattooed on the palm of his hand. He says to his people in exile, no matter where you are, I will love you. No matter what you do, I will love you. Doesn't mean he's happy with it. But I will love you. You're my child. And your name is written in the palms of my hand. The other reality in that image is one of protection. He says in verse 16, your walls are ever before me. Envision their names, your name, my name, written on the palms of the hands of God. And then when God closes his hands, when his fingers encircle his palm, the names of the children of God would be enclosed in the protective care of his hands. Holding tight. Protecting them like walls. And we remember the stories of God's protection of his beloved children in exile. Daniel in the den of lions because he remained faithful to God in the place of exile. We remember the names Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, men who survived the trial of fire, because God had their names written on the palm of his hands. And your names and mine are alongside theirs. And in those times that we move through the darkness of exile, whatever the nature of that exile might be, the power of God's memory, the assurance that God will not forget us, accompanies us every step of the way. And the language of God's grace and compassion fuels the lantern of hope that lights our way through the darkness of exile. I dare say that most all of us have our own stories of exile. Maybe it was an exile we brought on ourselves because of our own foolish choices. Or maybe it was an exile, a time of alienation and hopelessness that was through no fault of our own, swept up in the circumstances of life. Whichever may be the case, the assurance of God is, I love you even more than a mother loves her child. And I will not forget you, because every single day I'll look into the palm of my hands and, oh, there's your name. In just a moment, we're going to stand and David's going to lead us in song. It might be that right now you're in a time of exile in your life. And there will be people gathered around our auditorium, facilitators who will pray with you and pray for you if you have a need that you want to share with them. We encourage you to do that. And for those of us who remain in our seats, continue to pray, remembering our own times of exile and how we might be used by God to be an encouragement to other fellow exiles. Continue to lift God up in songs of praise. Two of our shepherds will be down front. If you're ready to make the decision to become a follower of Jesus through repentance and baptism, in response to the grace of God, they're ready to help you. But if you need a word of hope today, that word is here. God says, I will not forget you. Let's stand and sing together.